We welcome you back to the Two Guys Named Chris show. A little sports dirt here. A Kentucky bowling team has set the record. Are you impressed? They had the most strikes in a 24-hour period, and they raised money for charity doing it. New world record. Four bowlers had to roll as many strikes as they could in 24 hours. The previous record was 1,400. Or not, 1,200 and something. And they beat that in 14 hours. They started at midnight, or going from midnight to midnight. So they wound up in 24 hours rolling 2,032 strikes. So they beat the previous record by almost 800, I believe. Pretty impressive.
Were these just league bowlers, or just a college bowling team?
League bowlers, and they were four of them that got together. That's the record, Guinness. And Guinness was on hand to
take on rocks tonight.
All night.
That is impressive, then. 2,000 strikes for four people?
24 hours, 2,000 strikes. You got almost, what is that, like 90 strikes per hour, I would say, something like that, in the 90s. This is some of the team members and their supporters.
These guys have been bowling since midnight. Most strikes in a 24-hour period in 10-pin bowling by a team of four people. They just achieved at 1:49 p.m. this afternoon a brand new Guinness World Record.
And we're going to keep bowling and drive that number way high so nobody can beat us.
The money is going to the Friend for Life Cancer Support Network.
They went out and got a lot of people to support them, and they got, you know, people would pledge so much money per strike. And I was impressed. Mm-hmm. I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, I am.
Because I don't know. I don't bowl much, but when I start, the first few frames, it's like, all right, this is fun. And by the last one, I'm just like, get me out of here.
Yeah.
So to do it for 24 straight hours, of course, that's their passion. They're bowlers, mm-hmm. you know, in a club, in a league. It reminded me of my erroneous report during COVID that bowling numbers had spiked.
That's right.
That was inaccurate.
That was one of the strangest of the whole three-year pandemic lockdown craze.
Yep. Yep.
That may be the strangest thing that you've ever uttered.
Yeah.
I don't like to be challenged on my factoids. And I
think it came about because we were talking about surfing numbers.
Yes, they were up.
Surfboard sales had surged because you can surf by yourself.
And I said bowling numbers.
Bowling too.
Yeah. And everybody said, that's a real surprise because bowling is inside. You'd think these bowling alleys were closed. I said, no. Bowling's way up. Now, that was inaccurate. I had misread that. In fact, I believe it was like bowling on the verge of being extinct.
How did it transmogrify in your brain to get to your mouth?
I read some headline, bowling almost extinct, but for whatever reason, I don't know if it's lack of sleep or maybe I had COVID fog, and I said, oh, bowling's on the rise. Bowling is going up. Well, really, bowling was being closed down. I mean, how could you? It's probably the least safe environment you can be in during a pandemic.
Yeah, because you're right there with a lot of people.
Four to eight people sitting in close proximity.
Sharing
everything is indoors.
Yeah. Your shoes
touching all the
shoes
same things.
And bowling balls. Recycled air.
Recycled air. So they get that spray for shoes, so there's that.
So somebody called me on it and said, are you sure about this? I mean, callers said, are you sure? And I said, yeah, I am sure. Bowling numbers are through.
Yeah, I think the rest of us in the room kind of looked at one another too,
and everybody said that can't be right. So the next day, everybody had articles and sent me stuff saying you're completely off on this. Bowling.
Did you double down or did you admit?
I doubled down, and I said I don't think so, Jack.
Bowling,
bowling is happening. Well, then I was forced to admit some weeks later, as bowling alleys across America closed. All right. I was inaccurate on that. That was not an accurate statement.
You know, we were lucky, I guess, when we grew up, there was a bowling alley in Richmond. And I knew what bowling was. I'd seen it on TV. I'd seen the Flintstones. But, because they bowl. But when our parents took us to the bowling alley, it was duck pins. Mm-hmm. So the little kids could get your hands around the ball.
Yeah, we did that too.
It was way more fun.
Great.
You know, because then you'd pick up a 9-pound ball.
Yeah.
With my arms?
Right. Even today.
I couldn't roll that.
This
is before they put the bumpers on the lanes.
Mm. Oh, you didn't even have bumpers, really?
Oh, I predate bumpers.
Your previous co-host, he had an argument with, I was there with him, and one of our sales guys, Scott.
In the building?
In the building, here. This is 20-some years ago. Your previous co-host, Brad, had little kids.
Right.
And he said, we went bowling. I don't let him use the bumpers. And Scott said, why not? He had a little kid, too. Scott said, why not? He's like, someone teach him to be something.
Teach him accuracy.
Yeah.
I'd like to welcome him to the worst dad off of all time.
Sometimes it's gutter, sometimes it's spare.
And I was just sitting there. I was about 23 years old, so I didn't have any kids or anything. Mm-hmm. And Brad said,
I make him use the heaviest balls.
Yeah. And Scott said, it's for fun. And Brad said, it's a life lesson.
Brad probably...
We just sat
never
there.
Bowled with him. He probably like would if their toe went over the line, he would disallow
call
them.
Call him on that. He would. He's like
market zero.
He's like bowling is not bowling with bumpers. And the Scott,
my youngest dislocated his shoulder. I popped it right back into place right there and made him still
keep going.
Didn't miss a frame.
And Scott said, but it's supposed to be for fun, and my daughter doesn't have any fun unless the bumpers are up. His daughter.
You got to knock pins down.
Yeah, you got to knock the pins down. That's where it's fun. And Brad said, it's not for fun. It's a grind. It's a grind.
Just like life.
Just like life is a grind. He's like, you'll never win at life. You can't. You have to teach them early. You have to. Mm-hmm. You have to win. You know. And so, and we were sitting. Oh, I know. We were sitting at Laredo's Neon Cactus, which was a Mexican restaurant. And I said, guys, let's settle this with some jalapeno poppers. Let's settle that. And they both just like turned from each other. I mean, the chips hadn't even gotten there yet. We were just about ready to order. Mm-hmm. And somehow bowling came up. And those two were ready to go at it now. And that was the same lunch where I made a terrible. I'm always trying to fill the silence. And I was in awe and scared of this guy, Brad, who Chris Dem used to work with.
Oh, he was a radio legend then.
Yes.
Even then.
Oh, even then. And I was scared of him. And he walks around like he walked around like I do now, all slumped over.
But he was real.
Grouchy. But he was real. He was real. And he was smart, way smarter than me. So I was trying to make conversation. Jerry Seinfeld was on TV and the show was a big deal. And I said, you know, Brad, Jerry Seinfeld is the first comedian to ever go from stand-up comedy into television, have a successful show. And he looked at me and said, have you ever heard of Red Fox? And I was like, I used to watch Sanford and Son. He's like, yeah, you're pretty stupid. You are pretty. And then he named
Why don't you go polish my balls?
Yeah. He named.
Figuratively. And.
Just show after show after show.
He named. Have you ever heard of Flip Wilson? You know, have you ever? I mean, it was just like bam, show after show after show of people who had been.
Oh, that was his wheelhouse.
Stand-up comedian. I said, I don't recall another stand-up comedian that ever had
having
a successful show. And he's like, are you out of your mind? I was just trying to literally fill the silence.
You know who you do that to now? B.B. Shea.
All the time.
You have become. B.B. Shea says something to you, and you're like, oh, really? Guess you've never heard of insert name. And you do it to him exactly the same way.
I know.
That Brad did
you're
that
right,
to you.
I know. Yeah. It's full circle moment.
It's fun to be on the other end of it. I'll tell you that.
And just like he saw you coming, you see B.B. Shea. When he has a hot take, you're ready now.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I got him on that now. That's true. It's nice to be on the other end of it.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you, the angry okra at Laredo's Neon Cactus didn't go down well that day. That was and we got out of there and Scott quit.
It's true.
He moved to California.
I can't work in this environment.
The bowling debacle of 1995 and the stand-up comedy debacle right there at the same table.